Here we walk around every single day with the knowledge of the truth, with the most powerful message that has ever been preached to mankind. And now God has touched our lives and saved us, and He's poured His Holy Spirit upon our lives, and He's empowered us to be able to share with people the message of hope.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Thanks for joining us as Roel continues our series in James with an urgent call to share your hope of salvation. Hesitation is natural when you feel your message might not be well received, but if you're faithful to testify of God's love and grace, the Holy Spirit can use your words to work in others' hearts. Stay with us for encouragement to be a bold witness of the gospel. Now, here's Roel Reese.
Tonight, we're coming to the end of the book of James. And what a book it has been, especially tonight at the conclusion of the book. Last week, we shared concerning the power of healing those that are sick, how they need to come to the elders of the church. They anoint them with oil. They pray over them by faith. And then the prayer of faith will save them and heal the sick. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "He who wins souls is wise." I was reading the last two verses of chapter 5 of the book of James. James is so powerful in his words, especially when it comes to writing to believers, because he's going to be writing now and closing out the book in his last conclusion, and he becomes very concerned for those people that have backslidden. Those people that have left the Lord and have gone back into the world, and they're living in a world that is perishing, and they themselves are perishing with that world. This is really something that brings about in theology concerning eternal security. And I remember, I don't know if you ever knew Dr. Duffield and Dr. Van Cleef. There were these old saints that taught at the Bible school, at Bible Life College, for many, many years. As a matter of fact, they were Pastor Chuck's teachers. That's how old they were. And Dr. Van Cleef, he came and taught here when he was 90 years old. His son was 70 years old. Imagine that. And he died, I think, at the age of 95, I think it was. And he was a very good friend of Calvary Chapel and a very dear friend of mine. And he really just gave a lot of wisdom when he spoke concerning the Word of God. And I remember at one of the pastors' conferences sitting with him and Dr. Van Cleef and Dr. Duffield. And I was asking them concerning this passage in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, because there are those people that will look at that passage and they will say, well, those people never really knew the Lord. But remember, he's talking to who? Christians. Christians. He's not talking to non-believers. And it's really important that as we look at the text and that we would be open to the Holy Spirit, because again, this is concerning soul winning. I don't know how many of you, since you came to the Lord, have been able to lead someone to the Lord. That's really important. And the reason I say that is because there are so many people that we come in contact with at the grocery store. It could be in school. It can be outside of the church, at work, wherever it may be. And here we walk around every single day with the knowledge of the truth, with the most powerful message that has ever been preached to mankind. And now God has touched our lives and saved us, and He's poured His Holy Spirit upon our lives, and He's empowered us to be able to share with people the message of hope. And then Jude, one of my other favorites, it's actually the brother of James, in his epistle says that we have the power, as we have an urgency to become soul winners, As people are beginning to perish, that we have the power to reach down and actually pull them out of the fire before they get to the fire. And so the book to me has been one of the greatest books in transforming my life personally. As I've been reading and studying it now for all these weeks. And because of all the great exhortations that James has been given to Christians, not non-believers, Christians. And I can really compare with the actual psalmist in Psalm 119, 97, where he says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day long." The beautiful power of the Holy Spirit working through the life of a believer because of the Word of God. The power of this little book. That's why I've written in my Bible, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. And that is so true even today. So it's really important that we understand and we have to remember that as we study this great book, that he's writing to a church that has been persecuted by very wealthy people, where not only they've killed some of the Christian believers, but those that were poor in the church were suffering tremendously at the hands of the rich. Suffering tremendously. And yet I can't get Paul's words out of my mind and my heart. As Paul the Apostle was coming to the end of his life, at the end of his ministry, as he went down for the last missionary journey, and he came to the city of Ephesus. He came and he called for the elders to be able to share with them a farewell speech. And this was one of the greatest farewell speeches that anybody could ever speak to the leadership of the church, especially in the early century of the church. In Acts chapter 20, let me read it to you. Verse 22, he says, "And see now that I'm going bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." Imagine what it must be like to know that you're going to go to Jerusalem, you're going to go to Rome, and they're actually going to persecute you, and they're eventually going to kill you. And yet Paul's not afraid. Because Paul has a great God that he believes in. And he knows that he's been through a lot in his own personal life and that God is preparing the way for Paul. Paul is not thinking, "I'm going to escape this persecution, or I'm going to go to Greece, or I'm going to go to another country, but I'm not going to go to Jerusalem and I'm not going to Rome." No, he knew already, and he prepared, as God's heart was prepared in the heart of Paul, to be able to receive persecution and even death now. He goes on to say, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy, the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." What a powerful word from Paul. Think about the race that we're racing today in. We're actually in a race. We are running for all of eternity. And Paul says, "This ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ, testifying to everyone of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace that God gives to each one of us individually that we don't even deserve. And yet God's grace has been given to me." And then he says, "And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more." No more. This is it, folks. And I wonder what it must be like to preach your last sermon, your last words, to a congregation that you've loved all of your life, knowing that in a couple of days, you're going to be dead, and that you're going to heaven, and that you'll be waiting in heaven for the rest of that congregation, as each one of them will die, either through persecution or martyrdom, or through natural causes. And one by one will enter into the presence of God into all eternity to rejoice with the Lord Jesus Christ for the gospel of Jesus Christ that has been given to each one of us individually because of the grace of God. And Paul says, and indeed I know that you all among who have begun preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not failed to declare to you the whole counsel of God. I like that. It's really important. Paul is the only one in the epistles, in the New Testament, that in the book of here of Acts in chapter 18 and here in chapter 20, two times he says, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. What is Paul saying? Where did Paul get that from? He got it from the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 3, chapter 18, and chapter 33.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for resources to guide your steps in God's ways. You'll also want to check out the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, home of Raul's straight talk and a hub of biblical teaching. Now back to more of our study in James.
It's really important that we understand that here James now is coming to the conclusion of his book. And yet he feels like Paul, he feels like Ezekiel, that the Lord has made me a watchman over the flock of God. In that culture in the Old Testament, the watchman was the actual person, the sentry or the guard. That when the actual gates at night would close at sundown, and the people would close on, all of the merchants would close on their shops, they would walk into the city, close the doors to the city, and everyone would go to their own homes with their families. That as the people would go to rest at night, the watchmen would climb up into the corner of the actual city walls with a shofar, with a ram's horn. And he would go to the corner of the city, and you would have these actual sentries on each corner of the city wall looking out into the darkness of the night, looking and watching if an enemy army would be approaching the city or if anybody would try to come and sneak into the city. The worst thing that a guard can do or anybody they can do in an ambush is to fall asleep and to put the whole platoon in danger and have everyone killed. Imagine the responsibility. Here, the prophet tells us that in the book of Ezekiel, Paul says that Paul the apostle not only felt like he was responsible for the church, but he was responsible for every person that he came in contact with that was a non-believer, that if he would not be able to share with them and if they would die without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Paul would be guilty of their blood. Pretty heavy. I want you to realize that every person you come in contact with, you're responsible to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never ever to force ourselves upon anybody or to actually try to force our theology, our religion. No, as the Holy Spirit leads and the Holy Spirit guides, and we began to share our testimony, we began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people as they want to hear. And if they don't want to hear, we don't force it upon them. But you know what? I've done my job. I can say like Paul today, if I was to die, I can wash my hands from all men's blood. Why? Because I have not failed to give to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not guilty of that. I have preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have taught the church well the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's really important that we notice that this is a mighty powerful lesson tonight in the coming end of this book of James. And it's really amazing because as I was studying the passage, he reminded me in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 and 33, that here Ezekiel was called to be a watchman. And Ezekiel came forward and God said to him, I want you to go and tell my people. And if you don't tell them and they die without a prophet telling them or somebody sharing with them, I will hold you responsible for their blood. But if you go and you tell them and they reject me and they die in their sin, you are free. They'll be responsible for their own blood because they rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at least I did my duty. I told you. I warned you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Especially when we have loved ones and friends that are perishing and they're going to hell. In the times that we're living today, how much more important where we really need to share with people like never before. Why? Because people get cold. Think of all the people that have sat where you're sitting tonight and no longer are they here today. They're backslidden. They went back to their old ways and to their old lives, which God already had forgiven them for those sins and those lifestyles. And yet those people that have come to the light and have come to the truth of Jesus Christ and then they go backwards and they drift away from Jesus Christ, they cannot ever enjoy sin ever again the way they did the first time. It will never be the same. You've been to the light. And the light is greater than the darkness. That's what the Bible will teach us. And yet Paul the Apostle said, you guys, I'm on my way. But I am not guilty of any man's blood. Why? Because I have not failed to give to you the full counsel of God. And Ezekiel did the same. And then Ezekiel goes on to say this. He says, if the righteous man sinneth, all his righteous works will be what? Wiped away. And if he doesn't repent, he will die in his sin and he will perish. He will perish. Be careful of a false security in Jesus Christ. Be careful of those that are trying to appease your conscience and your mind to make you feel well instead of leading you to repentance. And to be convicted by the Holy Spirit in your mind and your heart that you have sinned against God and that you have transgressed the grace and the mercies of God. And this is what James tonight is going to be teaching us as he's trying to tell people to return back to the Lord. Come back to the truth. Come back to the grace of God. Don't be a stranger any longer. And now when James comes to the need of reclaiming those that have wandered from the truth, the verb used in the Greek here, to err, means to wander, and it suggests a gradual moving away from the will of God until finally you're completely out of the way. It'd be like on a ship sitting there, you don't put the anchor down, and you go down to sleep the next morning, you're not going to be in the same place, you've drifted away. And you didn't even know you drifted by night. The current took you. That's what the word is used here. Being taken away by that current of the world. Where you're standing and you don't even know you're out in the world. You don't even know that you've drifted away from God. And you're back in the world doing the same things that God delivered you from. You're doing them again. But this time there's no enjoyment. No enjoyment, and there's greater accountability and greater responsibility, and guess what? Greater judgment. Greater judgment. I'm warning you. I'm warning the church. I'm warning myself. Really important what he says here. That's why I could not close the book last week. There's so much in verse 19 and 20 for each one of us individually here tonight. That we need to have a heart for our loved ones and friends that are backslidden. For the lost, yes, but what about the backslider? Those that have come to the knowledge of the truth and have returned back like a dog going back to its own vomit. Like a ship drifting away by the tides of the ocean. And not knowing that they're totally backslidden. And it's sad to say that in the church, there are a lot of people that are backslidden. A lot of people that have left their first love. And yet when you read about the church of Ephesus, what is the first thing that he says to that church? He says, repent and return. He says, and if you don't, I will go somewhere else and work. I'll leave you alone. You make the choice. God already made his choice to save you, to cleanse you, to wash you. And it's really important because sometimes a brother is overtaken in a fault. He might be taken in a fault. Maybe he got bitter because of something that happened with the church, so he left the church. Then he got into sin. Then you have those people that are in the church, and they're sinning in the church, and there's no conviction in their hearts. You know how many times I've counseled people over the years, old and young. And sometimes these young people will come in and they'll say, you know what, we've been living together under the same roof for a long time now, and we want to get married. And I ask them, well, are you guys sleeping together? When is the last time you guys had an intimate relationship with each other sexually? And as they begin to share, I will tell them that I can't marry them under that condition. That they have to break it off. They have to separate and they have to get their relationship with God first, right on with Him, and to wait 6 months at least and separate and pray and repent and see what God's going to do. And if God brings you back in that relationship, then you're coming back in the Lord forgiven. You're coming back in a place where God is going to honor your marriage. But how can God honor a marriage under fornication? He can't. He can't, unless there's true repentance. And how do you prove repentance? By separating and not touching one another for the next 6 months. Proving that there's self-control. And that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit and that God is first in my life, not my girlfriend, not my boyfriend. And then you have the married people that commit adultery on their husband or their wives. So sad. But they actually break that covenant of marriage as they're tempted, seduced by someone in the office or at the gym or at the grocery store. Could be anywhere. And because the husband or the wife have been treating each other bad in such a way, the devil comes along and opens that door of weakness, and he brings you that great temptation, and you're open for that temptation, and you're not strong because, first of all, you haven't been praying, you haven't been in the Word. You've been feeling sorry for yourself, you're depressed, you're bummed out. So what happens? The devil knows how to get you good. And yet we should be able to be strong in the Lord. If you're actually going through a great trial, you should not get away from the Lord. You should draw close to the heart of God, where God is going to bless you and help you.
We certainly recognize that sharing your faith can sometimes feel uncomfortable, but we encourage you to step outside your comfort zone as you consider the eternal work that God can do when you're a willing witness. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson from James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20 is available in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. We'd also like to tell you about a resource that explores more of what it's like to live in close relationship with the Lord. Titled Traits of a Christian, Rawl's 8-part study is available on either CD or USB. Every lesson will motivate you to spend more time in God's Word and in prayer as you ponder the abundance that comes from living with a selfless, heavenly purpose. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Traits of a Christian, We'll send you this 8-message study on CD for $22 or on thumb drive for just $12. The number again is 800-634-9165. You can also write to Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese is fully listener-supported. Thank you for the partnership of your tax-deductible gifts. You are truly a blessing to us. Next time, we'll conclude this series in the book of James with a challenge to stay strong in our spiritual journey. God is looking for those with a steadfast faith who will follow wherever He leads, helping those who are weak and struggling along the way. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.